If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. And it's funny, as everyone was praying, I noticed one word that came out in most, if not all, of the prayers. And then our brother, Mr. Landrum over there, hit the nail on the head, as it were. And just kind of as a background story as to how I came to study what the Lord has laid on my heart. As many of y'all, I'm sure, know, Hannah and I have just recently begun a relationship, and in preparation of starting that, we both did individual studies on what a relationship would look like. And then the Lord kind of sent me off on a rabbit trail, which turned out to be what he laid on my heart to speak on tonight. And that was what I've entitled Real Christian Love. And I've just got four main points that I'd like to share tonight, and I'm going to move through these rather quickly, so if you would bear with me. Hopefully this will at least get your tongues wet and you can go home and study it more on your own. But these points are to love God first, to love other people, both believers and unbelievers, and then why should we love, and then love demonstrated. So first we'll look at loving God first. And here in the book of Mark chapter 12, we have some verses starting in verse 28. I'm going to read a couple verses here. It says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." So we see here this first commandment, as our brother prayed a few minutes ago, to love the Lord our God with our heart, souls, mind, and strength. And I'm just going to go through really quick and give a little definition of what each of these four things is. The heart, when he speaks of loving God with all of our heart, it means that we are to love God with sincerity, both in thoughts and feelings. In other words, with uprightness and true-heartedness, as opposed to being hypocritical or with divided affection. And then he says that we should love God with all of our soul. This is designed to command our emotional nature. It's almost saying, thou shalt put warmth and feeling into thine affection. And then we get to the mind, and we see that this commands our intellectual nature, saying, thou shalt put intelligence into thine affection. Don't have a blind devotion. Don't just go about things blindly, but rather put thought and intention behind your love for God. And then lastly, we see strength. And this is to command all of our energy. We should love God with intensity. So in essence, Christ is saying that the first and greatest commandment is that we should love God with all of our powers, with a sincere and passionate and intelligent and energetic love. Psalms 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 63, 1, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." So we see here how we should love God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. This sincere, passionate, intelligent, and energetic love. And then we move on to the second greatest commandment in the next verse. Christ says, "And the second is like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So now we see the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourself. And we see in other scriptures, Christ defines who our neighbor is. And it's basically just everyone around us, both believers and unbelievers. But we should take notice as to the order in which Christ gave them. If we love God with everything that we have, only then can we truly love our neighbor. It does not say that we should love our neighbor with our hearts, souls, mind, and strength, but rather we should love God with everything we have. We should leave the supreme and utmost affection for God alone. And thus, a life that really counts should be first concerned with God and then concerned with those around us. Material things are never mentioned in these scriptures. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." And there is a debt that each one of us as believers has to those around us, and that is an obligation to love. The word here represents a deep and unselfish affection for those around us, for each person. It is a love that is completely undeserved and not only extends to your friends, to those around you, but also to those people who you may not like or you may even consider an enemy. Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44 say, "You have heard that it has been said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So we see very briefly here have seen what it looks like to love God and to love our fellow man. And then we're going to take a look at what real Christian love should look like in a believer. But first, you might be thinking, well, why should we love? And a passage that the Lord laid on my heart just yesterday, in fact, is 1 John chapter 4. And I'm really not even going to expound on it. I'm just going to read it. I think the Lord did a better job explaining it than I could. So I'm just going to read these verses, and then we'll move on to the next point. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Read that last verse again. "We love him because he first loved us." So that is the reason why we should love not only God, but also those around us. And so let's move on to love demonstrated in the life of a believer. And I'm sure many of y'all thought of this when I first said we're going to be speaking about godly love and Christian love, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just going to read verses 4 through 7 and then just do some really quick definitions, if you would, of these three different verses. in the next 5 or 8 minutes, I think. So verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So we see the first one here is that love suffers long and is kind. The love, long suffering is a patient endurance under provocation, and kindness is active goodness, going forth in the interest of others. It endures any type of slights or wrongs patiently and long and returns them in a kindly spirit. Next, we see love does not envy. Rather, it is pleased that others should be honored and exalted rather than themselves. Matthew Henry said, "If we love our neighbor, if we love our neighbor, we shall be so far from envying his welfare or being displeased with it that we shall share in it and rejoice at it. His bliss and sanctification will be an addition to ours instead of impairing or lessening it." Love does not envy. And next we see love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. It subdues pride and vain glory. It realizes that everything it has is a gift of God and that there is nothing in man in which we can be proud. Love does not behave rudely. It will be courteous and considerate of others and their feelings. It is not rude, it is not uncivil or ill-bred. It's courteous and considerate. Love does not seek its own. It is not selfish, but instead it is interested in the will of others. It wishes to assist others as often as it can. It neglects its own welfare for the sake of others, and it would not advance or gratify itself at the expense or damage of another person. Love is not provoked. It does not fly meaninglessly into a rage, but rather it keeps its temper under control. It corrects the sharpness of the temper and sweetens and softens the mind. Again, Matthew Henry said, "Where the fire of love is kept in, the flames of wrath will not easily kindle." Love is not provoked. Then we see that love thinks no evil. It does not keep a record of evil rendered so as to return it. It does not attribute bad motives to others. It is not jealous or suspicious of others. And if it finds a fault, it doesn't promote it or make it known to others. It will put the best face on circumstances, even if they don't have a good appearance. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It does not take pleasure in the acts of unrighteousness. The sins of others are a grief to a loving spirit, rather than its sport or delight. It is glad at the success of others. It is glad at the success of the gospel and the truth. It doesn't take pleasure in the sin of others, but rather delights to see them do well and succeed. And then we get to verse 7 where it says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." We see that bears all things. It stands firm even though it may sustain injury. It perseveres. It is not overcome, and it bears up against the tides of evil like a rock against the waves. And it believes all things. It's not distrustful or suspicious of others. It tries to put the best construction on actions and events. And it hopes all things. It earnestly desires that all things work out for the best, even if there's not much possibility that it'll happen. It waits until all of the possibility is gone. It hopes that all things work out for the best. And then love endures all things. It patiently endures persecution and suffering. Let's just read those verses one more time and think about those different definitions, just barely scratching the surface. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And these were some of the things that the Lord challenged me with, and I realized that I didn't have in my life, and began seeking the Lord's wisdom and just trying to live this godly Christian love in my life. And just some quick applications that the Lord has laid on my heart was if we love God and if we love others, then we should want to share what the Lord has given us, share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in going along with the theme of the year with the chapel here, would be handing out tracts. It's just a simple way of showing our love for others. And then another way was to pray for others. You know, I've been guilty in the past of somebody coming up to me and saying, "Hey, will you pray for me about this?" And I might pray for it that one time, but, you know, just kind of dropping it after that. And the Lord's kind of laid it on my heart that, you know, if I really love that person, to pray for them until they receive the answer to that prayer. And then another thing was to be involved in each other's lives. Just getting to know people and asking them how they're doing, how their spiritual life is, just showing them love. And then being involved in different ministry opportunities. Just showing love not only to the believers here in ministry, but also to unbelievers out in the world. And then one last thing is just that I've tried to do is to take just one aspect of this long list here in 1 Corinthians 13. Just one of them. You can start at the beginning. Love suffers long and is kind. You can just take that and try to apply it into my life. That's what I've tried to do. And then when you feel like you've kind of got the hang of it, move on to the next one. And just as you move through these, seek the Lord's will and just stay in the Word and in prayer before Him. Just to show real Christian love to those around us, but to love God first and foremost in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you now for these words that you've given me, and we just thank you first and foremost for coming to this earth, for humbling yourself and dying on the cross for my sin, to take my punishment there. And I just can never thank you enough for that and for the love that you've shown me. We just pray that we will apply these words to our lives, Lord, that we will show your love to those around us, that we will love you wholeheartedly with all of our hearts, souls, mind, and strength, Lord. That those around us could see a difference just by the way we love, Lord. That we will go forth in the remainder of the week and show your love to those around us, that we will spread your word and just show your love to unbelievers, and that they will want what we have, Lord, and that they will seek to accept you as Lord and Savior. And we just pray now for the remainder of the week that we will honor and glorify you in everything that we say and do. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.